yeah. Oh yeah.
I'd pretend like I'm no hearing what you guys are hearing.
The music's playing.
Yeah, that's right. John can't hear it, so he can't sing it.
No, I can't.
I guess you can't hear me butcher it, guys.
Daisy Ridley.
Just as fine as she can be. How fine is she, John? She's a bad man.
Just as fine as she can be.
How close was I?
You were right on, actually.
Hey.
So, we're very pleased with ourselves here on episode 32 of Men of the K podcast. Because
we did our homework this time.
We finally found a way to get music plugged into the board.
Directly. Direct music.
Directly. Not indirectly.
Music serves straight to you, folks.
So does that mean I'm not singing anymore?
Nah, we're still going to do the singing. Yeah, it's just now we have a...
When we feel lazy, we can go ahead and use that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm getting with that.
We just have a little bit more options now.
We upped our production values just a tad bit more.
There we go.
Just a little bit.
You can always count on us, pleasing ourselves.
Just a little bit. Exactly.
Just a little bit.
So, who do I got tonight? I got Gil.
What up? What up?
I got Hot Sauce.
Yes.
I got Johnny Danger.
Clear.
I got myself.
Falcon. Hardest working here. Man in the podcast business.
Yeah, I know.
Is that how Falcon is?
We also got a...
He likes to think he's more of a hard-ass pterodactyl.
I think that's a Cumbia King thing.
We also got... what else do we got? We got this episode sponsored by... Crown and Coke.
Crown and Coke and some Shiner.
Some Bud Light.
Some Bud Light.
I mean, they didn't really sponsor. We're just drinking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, one day. How does it say? Thanks to, in part by Crown. Crown.
The maker of hits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. I think that's cocaine.
Cocaine.
I think cocaine is the maker of hits, but.
Tony Montana. Guilty.
Tony Montana.
He'll tell you there's a lot of things you can make with cocaine.
Look here, mate. I'm going to tell you this, mate.
Hey, Frank. I'm not going to shoot you, Frank.
Frank's in Disney World.
Frank is in Disney World. Is he clashing in Disney World, or is he like... No,
he's cut off from the world.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Frank. So...
We love you, man.
We have a pretty good... of course, Steve is not here again.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming a reoccurring theme.
It's okay.
It's a reoccurring nightmare.
We love you, man. We love you, Steve.
We love you. We miss you, Steven.
Come back.
Yeah, we hopefully we'll get you back soon.
We need your input on Thrawn.
Yeah, I mean, we're gonna have to go full Thrawn without you.
Yeah.
Thronald so. McDonald.
So maybe next time. Well,
this Thrawn's for you.
We got actually some very, very good topics today. What do we got today?
Pop quiz. Wonder Woman.
See if Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Even though Hot Sauce hasn't seen it, we're gonna try to give a spoiler free.
Yes.
Review. Get a slight peek up the skirt, but not the full.
Not the full money.
Yeah.
What else do we got, Gil?
The big mamma jamma.
Carnage.
We finally get to learn that Carnage is gonna be the new villain.
And, we've talked about this for a while, Venom so it's gonna movie. Be a great one.
Yeah, yeah, we've been wanting it badly, and we get our wish.
We're gonna
got our dirty wish.
We got some Han Solo Star Wars news. Some big news.
Roland Han. I guess the directors are Roland Han Solo.
Ho!
Ooh, I like that.
That was a good one.
Director Ron.
They prefer to Solo.
Director Ron Solo.
Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Ba-dum-sh.
Did it?
We also have some Game of Thrones trailer dropped.
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones. Got some gaming news,
and we got some more movie news, some TV show news. So let's just go ahead and kick it off with.
Give it away. Nah.
Talk about the Wonder Woman. I saw it. Gil saw it. Johnny Danger saw it, which is crazy. Johnny Danger saw it before Hot Sauce. I'm very disappointed.
We need to let John have one every now and then.
That is very true, though.
Every dog has his day.
You make a point right there. Can't even complain.
Damn.
So I'll be totally honest. I didn't know a whole lot about Wonder Woman, although I've seen the Wonder Woman origin cartoon that they show on TV.
You never saw a TV show with Linda Carter?
Back in the day, but...
Yeah.
Who really watched it from beginning to end? That was our age.
True, yeah, not beginning to end, but like, you know, you would catch an episode here and there. Just like the old school Hulk show too.
I got a question. What should I look forward to?
Lots of hotness.
Okay. It's a great movie.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
A lot of action.
It's a lot of action. I will say, in my opinion, DC got well for the new movies.
Yeah,
the post Nolan movies. Mm-hmm. They finally got one right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think
it was a good mix.
We'll get to you in a minute, John, because we already know you're the naysayer.
Yeah.
All
right.
So I didn't know a whole lot about it, and I went to go see it, and it was good action. I've seen the cartoon on TV about the origin story, so I was kind of familiar with the pilot guy crashing at the Mascara and. All that connection.
I didn't know any of that shit.
The love stuff, but the one in the cartoon had him like as a pilot now.
Oh, okay. Instead of World War II pilot.
Correct. And so that, you know, that was interesting. The bad guy, Ares. Same bad guy in the cartoon. So
yeah.
it kind of pretty much lined up. I did like the little twists and the little.
Yeah, you didn't see it. You didn't see it coming.
Some of the stuff you didn't see coming.
Yeah.
There was some good comedy in it. A lot of action.
It was a healthy balance. Yeah.
I liked it. It did. I heard a lot of people say that it reminded them of the first Avenger.
It kind of reminded me, but with 50% more
action.
It fixed the mistakes from that one.
Correct.
It got
going kind of fast.
They put
enough action in there.
Because it was a little slow at first, and then it kicks up real quick after.
Yeah,
like,
I think so too.
So all in all, I was pleased. Yeah. What do you have to say about it, Gil?
Like what you're saying, what a lot of people were saying is like it did feel like that Captain America, the original Captain America movie, and I agree, it did feel like that a little bit, but they fixed it and got it right. But they definitely added on to the action. Nothing seemed too predictable in the movie. It was really good, really well paced.
Yeah,
didn't seem boring.
Threw a curveball to me.
Yeah,
you know, to find out who Ares was. You know?
Which when we do find out who it is, and I see the actor. I just think of Harry Potter because I know him very well from that movie. It's like I can't see him as a.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. I just think of Harry Potter, so.
It's Burt Reynolds.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds.
Turd Come on, Ferguson. Man.
Call me Turd
Come
Ferguson.
Come on, spoiler now. Free.
Let's see. They made her a badass in that movie. Like, they really did her justice. They did. Honestly, she was a badass in that movie from beginning to end. Like, she was a good character, good-hearted. You get to learn how she kind of became how she is in that present day, like how she originally was as far as being very idealistic and wanting to help people.
Real naive is what she was.
Naive, there you
Real
go.
Naive.
Of the world because she was basically secluded all her life in that island. And then you see how she becomes present day, which makes sense after what she's gone through. You know, she's a demigod, which I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
And she's sister or half sister to
Ares. Spoiler free, come on.
Ish. Well, I mean, it's Greek mythology, yeah. So.
I'll say this.
That's pretty much all I got to say on that, yeah?
It didn't suck.
It did not suck. It was fine.
No,
the first
it was a good
DC
movie
they got right since Batman.
You know what? Like, with Batman versus Superman, what my biggest beef was, like, they tried to do too much. This, they didn't. Yeah. They did it just right, you know? I didn't like the special effects.
Really?
Yeah, like, while I didn't like the slow-mos, and, like, I felt like they were trying too hard with that, you know?
Oh. I think they're going, like, over-stylized.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Yeah, overdid it.
Like, that's my biggest problem with the movie itself is that like everything was a little overdone.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, other than that, it was a good movie. Like, it caught my attention.
Mm-hmm.
It threw me for a loop, you know, to like see who Ares was.
Yeah.
Like, I was figuring out, you know, they were trying to portray it as somebody else, but yeah,
I mean, they kinda,
I thought it was somebody else, completely else, and then I was even wrong, so I was like, damn.
Yeah, I was wrong as well.
Dang, so like, yeah, huh, that threw me off. Let's see, what
so
else?
What else did you like about it, John?
You know, let's see, what else did I like about it? I'm trying to figure it out. God. There's so much. It's I was speaking into my drink. I apologize. It was good. I don't think it was a great movie, but I mean, it was better than, like, if we were to compare it to like Superman versus Batman.
Oh, psh, night day.
Yeah, it's they turned it around. It felt like a whole, like, they were trying to plug in different plots for the movie, right? With this, it was just one smooth, cohesive, you know, plot.
So did you think that they overpowered her, or do you think that that's what her that's how powerful she really is?
No, yeah, I think that's how powerful she is. She's not like something like she's supposed to be just under Superman, you know, above Batman, the Flash. She's probably like the second strongest character, I would say, in the Justice League, yeah, for sure.
I mean, the woman's half god, like,
yeah. So, I mean, what I think, they did her justice. I can't really complain about that at all. What else can I say? I mean, that's about it. I mean, what do you guys think?
It was kind of cool, like, towards the beginning, you know, she was still on the island. They show them training all the female warriors, the Amazonian women.
Do you have any
her skills?
Do you have any questions? Since Hot Sauce hasn't seen it, is there anything that you heard about it or want to know about it that you can ask as someone who may have not seen the movie?
I think they already said everything I need to know or want to know.
Including things you don't want to know?
Right, exactly.
Sorry. Yeah. I'll just say this. The last scene was pretty, really good. It made it worth it. Like, that last scene when she's fighting Ares.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, that was actually a pretty badass fight.
Just that whole last part, actually. That's what pretty much, it built it up, it built it and it brought it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I really give them a hats off to that. You know, they didn't overdo it, underdo it. It was just right. You know?
There was something that they changed at the end. I'm not going to say what it was. It's different from the one that you see on the cartoon.
I thought that story was a good alteration, though.
I didn't like it, but
I think it was worth it, you know?
It definitely puts some, it adds a little bit extra in there. I'm going to say extra what, but
mm-hmm,
it just adds a little bit of more to it. But I thought it was very good.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out, like, okay,
I'll tell you after the podcast.
All right. Yeah.
But overall, it was good. Definitely. Was it better than, I don't think that it was better than Man of Steel story wise, but it was better than Man of Steel action wise.
I would have to agree on that. Yeah. You felt more for the character in Man of Steel, but the action was better in Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had more time to play with the character. That's what was better.
Because in Wonder Woman, she's on the island, she's doing her thing,
yeah,
and then probably within the next like first 15, 20 minutes, bam, she's on the adventure.
Yeah.
Whereas Man of Steel, you have the build up to when he's little, you know, because the lore of Superman is the build up is, you know, has he grew, how he grew up,
yeah,
the issues growing up,
he was a good boy,
he was a good kid, he was, you boy know, his parent, his parents are really, yeah, really into his,
mm-hmm,
part of his, who Superman is. You with Superman, he's
they bold,
he's so powerful
him, yeah,
and he has to be so good and honorable. You have to show where he gets that from.
Yeah.
Whereas like Wonder Woman, she's a warrior, she's from a warrior culture,
yeah,
warrior, from a warrior island. There's not a whole lot like to build, you know what I mean? She's, mm-hmm, she is who she is, and
she's,
that's kind of like,
yeah,
like, you know, Batman's the same way as Superman, I would say, where you have to
build
his up, but we're just so tired Batman's of seeing that.
Oh god, yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to build him up because we know the origin stories are written.
Correct.
Like,
origin stories of comic book characters you do not need to see anymore. Batman, yeah. Spider-Man, stop.
Batman,
please stop.
Spider-Man. I would say Superman too.
Well, yeah.
He's not overly done, but he's not, you know, something. I mean,
so
we already
in
know
the middle. So what would you give Wonder Woman out of 10?
I give it an 8.
An 8?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, about 7 or 8, yeah.
Yeah, I'd give it about an 8, 9, somewhere around there, because it is, it definitely, I don't know if I score it so high because everything else that's come out is crappy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
so, like, your expectations are so low. You're taking the best of the worst. Or, then,
but yeah. I honestly will say I think it is just good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hiram says an 8 out of 10 as well.
Yeah. It's their flagship movie at the
Everyone
moment.
Everyone say what's up to Hiram.
What's up, Hiram? What's up,
brother? How you doing? So that makes me wonder how well the Justice League movie will be. It's a different director.
That's the big question. Mm-hmm. Justice League, is it going to be as good?
Maybe we should get that chick director to do all the movies now.
She's really good.
I mean, it's already confirmed she's doing the sequel.
Well, you know what? Let's shift gears now that it wasn't something that we were going to talk about. But since we're talking comic books, let's shift into Spider-Man Homecoming on one question.
Yeah.
If they show another, Stephanie said she didn't even see Eric.
Dang.
Dang.
Look, he's right there.
Dude, I don't want you to see me.
He's right there.
He's incognito.
So.
What's up, Steph?
Hi, Steph.
Yes, he is here.
Thank you for answering those questions.
So, if we have to see another Uncle Ben die in Spider-Man Homecoming,
yeah.
I told somebody earlier that if I saw Uncle Ben get killed again in Spider-Man Homecoming, I'm going to walk out of the theater.
Like, I'm done.
Does everybody feel that way here?
Like, I'm going to watch the movie.
I'm still going to watch the movie.
Yeah, I'll watch the movie. But I'm going to be real like, okay, we know Spider-Man's origin
like,
story.
God damn it,
like,
right?
Yeah.
So as for me, it would definitely, on my personal review.
It spoils it a bit.
Seeing another Spider-Man, another Uncle Ben die, I would have to give it, it would automatically drop like 1 or 2 points just to have to see another origin story of Spider-Man.
Yeah, true.
It would start at an 8 instead of a 10.
I think they'll skip over it, honestly.
What do they do, like a quick like flashback?
What they kind of did is, I think they kind of took, you know, the Uncle Ben part and put Tony in that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I kind of like that, actually, yeah.
I don't mind if they talk about
it. His mentor.
Yeah, like more of his mentor than like Uncle Ben was. I mean, they'll probably put a hint to it, but it's not going to be like that where you see what ended up happening and how, you know, this is where like Peter already has his superpowers, you know.
It's like, we already know already. Come on.
Yeah, he already got the suit. Yeah. They're just going to maybe give it up a quick glance through, and then that's about it.
I mean, that's all they need to do. You don't have to like overdo it. Just a quick little, okay, bam, 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 we're done. On to the story.
And yes.
May's younger too.
Yeah, I can take a real quick, like, just, you know, get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Early reviews for Spider-Man are solid.
Okay, that's good.
There have been critics that have seen it in the early reviews, or it's very, very good.
It's another Marvel movie potentially.
Yes, really good said it's the next big Marvel movie.
Dude, I'm pretty stoked about that, honestly.
When's the last time we've seen a bad Marvel movie?
True.
That is true.
This is also Sony too, though. So I mean,
yeah, different studio or different whatever.
Yeah,
we'll
say
the last. I think if you're not counting MCU stuff, a Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
it's been a while. But
well, you know what? Speaking of Fantastic Four, there is some news that we got out there that Fantastic Four will be rebooted.
Reboot of a reboot of a reboot
as a children's movie, right?
Yeah.
Really.
What's funny is this: the headline on that story said, Fantastic Four to be rebooted as a children's movie.
They're out of
just
ideas.
Give it back to Marvel. Just give it back to Disney already.
They're just out of ideas. Are we going to do like a Teen Titans, but Fantastic Four Teen Titans?
They should have done is like a Skrull Invasion. I think that would have been pretty dope.
Skrull Invasion?
The Skrulls? You don't know what those are?
No, sir.
Oh, man.
They're green.
They're green.
Oh. They're like they
Well, the Skrulls and the, they fight each other. It's the Skrulls and the,
I don't remember.
There's two races.
Yeah, Skrulls are like known to like take over like places.
That's kind of where the Inhumans come from. Remember we talked about it the last time. It's the Skrulls and the Inhumans
are. That's cool.
No, not the Inhumans. It's the Skrulls, and they're fighting a war against another race. The Shi'ar.
I don't know.
Shi'ar. I don't know. Anyways, I think that if they would have gotten a pretty decent Fantastic Four movie in time, we may have seen Fantastic Four in Infinity War.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's too late.
Yeah, way too late.
I think I would rather have it in the Spider-Man universe, honestly, because the way Johnny Storm and the way Peter Parker interact with each other is just, it was great. And then, like, later on, like, I'm not going to say anything, but, like, something happens to where Peter takes on like a mentorship to Reed Richards and Reed Richards' son. I forgot his name, but he kind of takes on that mentorship too. Really, like that part of the comic gets real touching, and I'm like, oh, hit the heart, you know.
You almost cried.
Yeah, I cried almost on a couple comics. I'm not gonna lie, and that part kind of got me teary-eyed. I won't deny it.
Oh.
I'm a straight writer.
You don't want to fuck with me.
Thanks.
But you can't do nothing to a G.
Nice.
Moving on from Fantastic Four.
And Spider-Man.
But staying in the same thing, we got the Venom news coming out.
Yeah.
That Carnage is going to be the villain.
Yes, dude, yes. We've been talking about it. We've been wanting it. It's going to happen.
I think Carnage is going to look so sick.
He's going to be fucking bad.
Now, are they going to do Agent Venom, or are they just going to do regular Venom like with Eddie Brock?
I think they're doing Eddie Brock. He's going to be the main character.
Yeah, because that's who Tom Hardy's going to be.
Yeah, yeah. Dang. So they're going through old school, starting off, I guess, origin.
That's what's up. I could see that.
So like Carnage is the main villain. It's going to be a rated R movie, so it's going to see some brutal shit.
That's because Venom himself's a villain, too.
Yeah, he's going to make him look like a lightweight, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Carnage was always skinny.
Yeah.
It was Butch Cassidy. Mm-hmm. And the Sundance Kid.
They're probably going to do like the whole
thing.
Was
it Butch Cassidy? I don't think it was.
Maybe.
Yeah, you should Google that.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
I think we're right with Butch, but not the Cassidy part.
I thought we were right with the Cassidy, but maybe wrong with the Butch.
The Butch.
We don't claim to know everything. We just claim to know a little. We don't claim to know a lot about everything. We just know a little bit about a lot.
Yeah, there you go. A little bit about a lot. That's the motto of the cave.
Okay, so are we... Do we want to see where they show Eddie Brock in prison with the guy from... Because that's how he gets the symbiote.
I think they would have to
He's
do
in
that.
Prison. It breaks off from him. It gets on the guy.
If they stay true to the comic and don't try to rewrite it or kind of like reinterpret it, yes. Because sometimes they want to do that crap and
question
that's not
is,
cool.
Are they going to put in Tom Holland on this one or wait till do it on a later one?
I think he has to come in at least as a cameo.
He said he's contracted only to 3 movies. So all those other ones, he could be anything. So
they
knows?
Do have to at some point.
Yeah.
Well,
Cletus Cassidy, by the way.
Cletus Cassidy. See, yeah. I knew the Cassidy was right.
Just between the crack of your ass, Cletus.
Well, you know that Venom goes back and forth between hero and villain.
He's going to be pretty much the hero in this one, though.
Sometimes he's been the hero. Sometimes he's been the villain.
Anti Venom was a good one too.
Anti Venom.
That's Eddie Brock too, but.
Yeah,
neither here. I think that's pretty much what they're gonna get set up for.
That'd be cool.
Anti Venom.
That would be cool.
That's gonna be pretty dope if they do. They'll go straight into like he's been in the Venom suit for a while, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they should do is like already have it to where he's already established that you know
he's
had the Venom symbiote for a while, and then somehow Carnage comes along. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that'd be sick. That's the way I would envision.
That'd be cool. I mean, it's going to be rated R, so they can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, true.
So they can do make it really kick that, yeah. And then bring Deadpool in along.
I think that would be cool is to have, like, one character bounce back between both universes, between Sony Marvel films and then the Marvel DC... what is it? Marvel...
Just the Marvel...
MCU?
MCU, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Watch, they're going to make a rated R verse...
Yeah. So then they can even bring in the guys from like the Netflix shows like Daredevil and Jessica Jones. And that would be kind of cool.
That'd be dope. Easy transition.
God, there's so many possibilities and options they can do with this stuff. I love it.
Me and Mrs. Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm. So many activities.
Jessica Bones. Yeah.
Jessica Clones.
Carnage is going to be the main baddie. And then... Do you want them to do it like how they do with the Hulk where it's just all CG when he's that character and then like the
I don't know, see. Do you want it like Deadpool where he's wearing a suit
the whole time, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean
see, I don't know, could CG. They pull off? Well, I mean, I guess the green screen or whatever the hell the suit and then like add the effects.
I would say you have to if you're doing Venom and Carnage CGI is the only way to do it honestly.
Just especially with the mouth the way it opens and like that tongue
the way
and
they talk, the teeth, everything you know.
So then who would do the well? How would the voices work? I wonder.
They're gonna be ugly, dark and ugly is what I like. I like that.
That'd be legit.
Yeah.
What kind of powers are you looking to see from them?
Dude, all I want to see is Venom do the tendril whip. Just that's all I care, really.
It's like that'll do it for you right there.
That's all I need right there. It's just that tendril whip, and I'll just whip myself to sleep.
Then you do the nay-nay.
Yeah.
What powers, what did what did Carnage do that Venom couldn't do?
Dude, he was able to, like, mass produce himself pretty much, so, like, everybody else would get, like, if you think about it, like, all Venom symbiote was just stuck to Eddie Brock, right?
Yeah.
The Carnage symbiote was able to go to everybody. Like, you were gonna
infect everybody.
Yeah. You were gonna get, like, infected by him by no matter what means possible.
Damn.
He did it to where he infected Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
He got it to where he infected Spider-Man, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Captain America, and a couple other people, superheroes. I saw that, or I was reading that in, Maximum Carnage, or no, Carnage USA, another sick comic book series that I read. But yeah,
that's kind of badass.
Yeah.
Who usually comes out on top between Venom and Carnage?
Carnage, for sure.
Yeah. Always?
Yeah, most of the time, yeah, because Carnage has the, for some reason, Venom fears Carnage. I forgot what reason, but Carnage is a more dominant one out of the two.
But he could usually beat him with Superman, evil, right? Yeah. Yeah, he's with pure Superman? Evil. I mean, with Spider-Man.
Whoops.
I'm sure Superman can beat him.
Yeah.
He's like, what's this? Flick?
Yeah. Shatters the wind barrier around him. Destroyed. Not all the time. There's times where, of course, they'll figure it out. But, I mean, because they're the superheroes at that time. But, I mean, most of the time, Carnage is a hard mother effer.
He's like the honey badger.
Honestly, yeah. He's like almost like a honey badger, but more persistent, honestly. Damn.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
So then maybe they'll make it to, like, in the movie where Carnage, of course, is the main baddie, and, like, it comes to the end, and Venom's, like, losing, and then Spider-Man makes a cameo and saves his life.
I could see something like that. That wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be a bad ending at all.
Hmm. So they kind of, like, team up against him.
Yeah. I could see that. But I would rather see, like, a Venom movie being its own Venom movie.
I would, too. Like,
I wouldn't want to see that crossover just yet.
Do you think they should have just made a Carnage movie by itself?
I think...
No.
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 You got to make a Venom movie before you make a Carnage movie.
I think
movie.
What you should do, though, honestly, is make a Spider-Man movie, make it to where Venom's a bad guy, then make a Venom movie to make it where Carnage is the bad guy, and then...
All three.
Yeah, you get anti-Venom in, like, you start making all the symbiotes, you know? So I would say you got to make... And then, like, even that goes part of the Fantastic Four. You could have them part of that, too, as well, that Spider-Man universe, for sure.
Yeah, supposedly they came out and said all the Spider-Man spinoffs were all going to be in the same universe.
Yeah.
Which is good, because you want everything to stay together story-wise.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So they maybe see cameos.
It could really get exciting if Spider-Man's universe... That's where having them split is good. Because if you can take the Spider-Man villains and the Venoms and the Carnages and all the people that go in through Spider-Man stories, if you could be making their movies with Sony and then have Disney making all the other Marvel movies, and then every once in a while you can merge them together in, like, a movie.
Yeah.
That would really work, because then you can tell more story.
Oh, true, for sure. Yeah.
Without, like, limiting yourself. Because, you know, Disney is, like, their schedule is so packed because they have so many
releases,
great
so
films.
Many characters, yeah. And they own so many franchises. You know, they have
counting
they
Star
have
Wars.
Star Wars. I had read a story.
So much Marvel shit.
That there's some really good properties that Disney owns, but they're not looking to make any more. Like the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah,
they own that?
Those ones. Yeah, yeah, those are Disney. That. Yeah, those are Disney. But because their schedule is so full with Marvel movies and, you know, Captain America movies Star Wars movies. Yeah.
They're
so backed up that they can't get good stories in because they only have enough. There's only enough months in the year for them to shoot.
Damn.
You know, that's I think they have too many properties, actually.
So they might have to, like, reach out to other studios to work on those properties.
That's probably
for
what
them,
they should do.
Because it's so much going on.
I mean, sell them, honestly. Get it off their hands. Let somebody give it to the public.
License
to
it.
Make something good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Give up Fantastic Four. Somebody take it.
I don't think anybody really want.
That's a tough movie to pull off, honestly.
I mean, I don't know, because I thought Doctor Strange would be a tough one to pull off.
Same for Guardians.
And Guardians.
Nobody knew what Guardians was until that.
Well, it's not that nobody knew what Guardians was, but
they weren't big.
They're not big, but their people translate well into film. Doctor Strange shouldn't translate well into film.
It's just like too fantastical and magic.
Yeah. It is. So Fantastic Four, their biggest problem is finding a story that fits all of the variances of their powers. You know, you have a rock dude, you got an invisible chick, you got a fire guy, and you got a stretchy guy.
See, they can do good with the X-Men movies that have these kind of powers. So why can't they do it with Fantastic Four?
Well, the X-Men movies haven't done... They're good, but they haven't been great. They're not on the Marvel level yet.
True.
Yeah. Well,
except for the Wolverine one.
Shouldn't say Marvel because they're on Marvel, but they're not on the MCU level, the Disney level yet.
Yeah.
But they're coming up. They're definitely coming up. But
they're like the B team.
It's just, you would think for... I mean, how many Fantastic Four movies have been out? Three?
Three.
And people would say that the first one was probably the best one, which isn't saying much.
No, it's not because it was
just okay.
It was yeah.
And that it was kind of garbage too.
And you know what? It really just comes down to look at The Watchmen.
How's a good one?
You know, The Watchmen just
that
recently,
have been,
which is getting rebooted.
They were saying
way.
that shouldn't even have been like, translated to film. Honestly, yeah.
That's even harder to do than any other thing. And any other car. But. Just like Gil was just saying, it's being rebooted for HBO.
Which is going to be awesome.
Which would be awesome. So are we looking for a continuation of... Well, I guess we couldn't continue the story from the movie. Because Rorschach died. You know, there's a lot of things that happened at the end. What's his name?
Ozymandias?
Yeah, whatever his name was. That dude, you know, did he get killed? I don't remember.
It's been a while since
there was just a lot, you know... The Manhattan guy, Dr. Manhattan, took off. Rorschach got killed. You know, it's basically was like the end of The Watchmen is what we saw.
Would you be okay if they brought back the same actors?
Oh, I would love it.
Yeah, they were really good.
I agree.
What are we looking for in
Spawn?
A Watchmen reboot. Not talking Spawn this week.
No Spawn.
Well, they're doing it as a TV show, I would assume. Like Game of Thrones, like TV show style.
Hour slot.
Probably be more darker, more in depth.
What I would see is I would want to see more of the backstory for sure. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like the beginning of the Watchmen, like how they came to form. You know.
So do you want to see that original Watchmen that they showed like in the beginning?
Yeah.
When the Watchmen started, they showed like the old school ones.
What they should do is like, almost like you see the uprise of the Watchmen, and then you see the downfall.
Yeah.
And then you go into this.
The movie, yes. That's a good idea. Yeah.
It should end with the movie, definitely.
I think so.
Like right before. Yeah, that's a good idea.
But do you
idea.
Think the original actors now are a little too old to play a younger version?
True.
I guess that's the problem you run into.
Yeah.
No, the guy that plays Rorschach, I would love to see that same actor.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is...
He's
pretty up there.
He looks a little rough. Mm-hmm.
Dang. Yeah. But so then, you would have to...
Very well known now.
Of course, you would have to get new people.
Damn.
And then another cool thing, too, is you see the backstories behind the up-and-coming, you know, Ozymandias, Rorschach, you see how they came to be those people, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what they should focus on is, like, you're seeing the uprise and the downfall of the old first class, pretty much. But you see how the second class is, like, how they came to be. Mm-hmm. What was her name? Silk Spectre?
Yeah. Silk Spectre, yeah.
Yeah, the first Silk Spectre got raped by the comedian, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then her daughter ends up being Silk Spectre.
Yeah.
And then she almost gets raped as well, if I'm not mistaken,
by the
comedian again. So, like, that's there's no joke intended, but, like,
yeah,
you know... That's like
very dark.
Yeah, very dark. I think it would make a good transition. Now, who do you make the main villain? I don't know. I know there's some parts in The Watchmen that they have like a series within a series, but I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You could just make it an overall story arc for one season, so you have like one main baddie, like
Did you ever
Jessica
see
Jones with Kilgrave? Huh?
Did you ever see Heroes? Anybody?
I've seen an episode here and there, but I never like got into it.
I hope it's not like that then. You see how I've seen episodes here and there. It's not something that caught me.
Me neither.
I just don't want it to get like that. You know?
You want it to suck you in from that first episode.
Suck me in and then just let it out.
Soul
know?
Suck you? Your soul is mine.
Yes. No, I mean, I just don't want it. Like I said, if it's going to be good and it's going to be a good purpose of anything that's related to comics is it makes you want to read the original source.
That's true, yeah.
And I think it should do that. You know, so if it, agreed. Regardless if it starts with The Watchmen or if it starts before The Watchmen, the movie,
mm-hmm.
it should make you read the original source. Like, it should it's be good like, writing, oh, yeah, you know, I saw, you know, Silk Spectre, you know, it reads you, it tells you about the series, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Makes you want to dive in deeper.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool. I totally dig that.
I think, like I said, all comic books should do that. Like, I don't know.
Well, what? Okay, so I'll talk a little bit about what I liked about Watchmen, and you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said, like, when you talked about villains, nobody really thought one of the Watchmen was the actual villain.
Exactly.
And, you know, there's so many other great things about it is Rorschach is, like, uncovering it kind of like a detective.
Yeah, you see the point of view through his.
And it's pretty brutal. And then the way it ends is not a happy ending. Like, yeah, you get just, good guys killing good guys because they have to for, you know, it's as crazy as his plan was. Dr. Manhattan even was like, oh, I get it. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy that when you watch it, you know, some people go watch movies for the action. Some people go watch it for the story. But not a lot of people go and watch it and get, like, all the underlining messages. And you know, like, how great that movie really is. Like, The Watchmen is a great comic book movie.
Exactly.
But it does everything that the comic book movies we see now doesn't do. It, like, flips it on its head. It's like the reverse.
Yeah, and on top of that, there's, like, subtle changes, too. Like, Dr. Manhattan, that bomb that Ozymandias set off in Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't end up killing them in the comic book. It ends up being this, like, creature. I don't know how that got there, but that ends up killing everybody. And that was, like, there's subtle differences that, like, for it to transition to the movies, like, that has to be done, you know? And it's an all right thing to do, but, like, you want to read the source material. Like, it makes you want to read it. It got me into, like, researching about it a little, you know? And that's made you what care. I think, yeah.
That's cool.
What about you, Hot Sauce? Did you see the Watchmen in the theaters?
I did, but it's been so long that I'm pretty familiar with everything you are talking about, so it's just, I know I liked it a lot, so I, now that we're talking about it again, I want to see it again.
Yeah.
So are you a fan of the dark, because it's, the setting of it is dark. I mean,
dark.
I'm trying to think, and I don't know how much of the movie is actually shot, like, in the daylight.
Not very much. Yeah, it's more like they're doing more of their crime fighting during
But that's, I think, a reason why a lot of people liked it, because at the time it was so different than what everything you've seen before. And
completely.
Wow, true. This is so dark. Like, these are actual.
Like, this is stuff that, like, that could happen to me. Like,
yeah,
I'm not gonna say, like, I got, like, impotency or anything. Like, I couldn't get it up, but, like, Night Owl had that problem. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm still young, relatively, so I don't know a lot of guys who have that problem, but, like. I know that's a big common thing, like, with gentlemen these ages, you know.
Didn't help with the alcohol, too.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah, see? Rorschach, you know, he was crazy as fuck. So, I mean, stuff like these guys.
You're not locked in here with, I'm not locked in here with you.
You're locked in here with me. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought was super cool. I mean, yeah, it had its parts where, like, okay, they didn't have to go overboard, like, when they're breaking Rorschach out. Like, I thought that was overdone a little, but, I mean, like, it still wasn't a bad movie, you know? It still had its parts, you know?
Man, another scene that on that movie that totally like was always in my head. And I guess because the soundtrack was bomb too.
That was badass soundtrack.
Is when Owlman, right?
Yeah.
When he's on his little owlbird, little plane or whatever, and the comedian's like standing on the outside with that shotgun, and there's like rioting or whatever, and he just drops down and just starts blasting like the rioters with the shotgun. You remember that part?
No,
he's just like shooting them. He's like beating them up, and Owlman's all like, "What? Like, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. It's just like these supposed to be the heroes. Like, they went from being heroes, you know. Especially the comedian, he went from being like a hero, and then he was, you know, was a rapist and." And he was like,
very fucked up people.
He was,
it just shows
he was
you
a
like
womanizer.
Absolute
you know, he was
power corrupts. What is it like?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And then he ended up being like a crony stooge for the government. And then at the end, he was remorseful.
Yeah.
You know, remember when he said it's all a joke? I thought that was such a great line when he's like, it's just one big joke
coming from a comedian.
From the comedian. Yeah. Man, he gets his ass kicked like bad in the beginning of that movie. It's Watchmen's such a good movie. If you haven't seen The Watchmen, I didn't think we would even talk so much about it. But
watch it,
it was, if you haven't seen The Watchmen, you really need to. Like Hot Sauce is going to see it again.
Rewatch it. No, definitely.
I want to see it again.
It's really good.
I want to see it first.
There's another good movie. We've talked about it before on the podcast. Edge of Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Or, that was a
Die,
manga.
Repeat,
Did you
die.
Know that?
It was a what?
It was a manga before.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Damn, it's okay. It's inspired by a manga. Manga?
Manga.
How does Trump say it?
Whatever.
I say it correctly. So it's manga.
Eric, tell us a little bit about Edge of Tomorrow. What did you like about it?
That it was different from most of the junk that was out at the time. And that in and itself was good enough for me. Wow, this is so different. How is he going to do this every single day? Learning and learning and learning. Little bit here, little bit there, little bit there. What is the goal of the aliens?
Just dying.
Could you imagine that? That would probably mess up a lot of people. But he was able to do it.
What's interesting is when you watch the movie and he keeps dying, there's certain parts of the movie where he's just like, just kill me already. Yeah, like, just let me start all over again.
Yeah,
I'm just done.
But man, it's got to be so frustrating, like, to start again and then have to go through everything that, you know, where he's waking up at boot camp and they take him there and to meet the people and he has to do all of the exercises before he can even, you know.
It's like an homage to those old school hardcore video games, like playing old school Ninja Gaiden or Ghouls and Ghosts.
You just start to learn stuff just by like.
And you die, you got to start all the way over again.
That's where the guy got it from. His kids were playing a video game and he kept watching them die and repeat and die, repeat that they just.
It's like, what if that happened for real?
So the news that came out, the reason why we're talking about it is they're making a sequel. If you've seen the movie, it has an ending. Mm-hmm. The ending is a little, I mean, it's not really confusing, but it's odd because it starts where it starts, it ends.
Yeah.
But when he gets to London in the beginning, he's going there right before the invasion of France.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, he wakes up on the helicopter, the same, like the beginning. Except he's landing and the war is over. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that the next movie is supposed to fill that in and do like whatever. What happened before.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
With what's her name? Emily Blunt.
About it, the manga has something like that where they start with they start in a fight, right? And he keeps on repeating. Well, the female that ends up being Full Metal Bitch, right?
Yeah.
She ends up, you know, in the manga still having the superpower or
having the power to reset the day. Yeah.
So, like, at the end or in the middle of the book, that's where, or in the middle of the manga is, like, they go and explore her, like,
the reasons why she, her backstory.
So, for people that don't really know, just real quick, and we just went right into it. He's not really a soldier. He doesn't want to fight. He's like in the media. He's like selling the war.
Yeah.
They put him on the front line. He ends up getting killed, and he kills
what's called an alpha.
Yeah, an alpha.
Yeah.
Which it's they're like one in every 100,000 or one in every 500,000.
He gets a blood melted
on him when he kills it and it the blood falls on him.
Kills him, yeah.
And then he just wakes up. And what you find out is that the alphas are connected to the brain that they're able to reset the day. That's why they always win.
Yeah.
So they'll go into basically they'll go into battle, they lose, they reset the day, they know why they lost, they change it and they win, and that's why they seem to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Well, he ends up gaining the power by having the blood fall on him. So basically, he gets to reset the day.
He's got the blood.
And what were the enemies called again? I forgot.
Oh, shit. Dude, I don't remember.
Don't know that one.
Do we remember what they were called? They're like these weird creatures. But anyways, so he basically spends the whole movie dying, trying to get over, through the day, dying, over, trying, and then over. And then when they hit the beach, he. Trying to find a way off the beach to find a way to get to the brain
and to save her
and to save his the girl. Omega, you know, she used to have the power too, but if you lose, it's in your blood. So if you lose too much blood, you'll lose the power.
Yeah.
What she ended up, what happened to her was she got wounded, got a blood transfusion.
That's what
and was right. unable to reset the day. Wow. And so this whole time they're trying to kill the main brain, the one that's
the
able,
Omega.
Yeah, the Omega, yeah. the one that's able to reset the day. And I mean, it's actually it's a very simple concept,
yeah.
but it's pretty awesome. And they have those cool exoskeleton armor on them with
badass,
guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks pretty badass. So just so that people understand, that's kind of the premise of the movie. Mm. This movie is supposed to be I guess more about the girl, the first one who it happens to. Yeah, they've got.
Is that officially confirmed that they're doing that part though?
Or I believe
it was Rita Ratasky.
Yeah, Rita Ratasky. And Emily Blunt plays her in the movie. Of course, Tom Cruise is the star of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's what the stories that we, you know, where we get all of our,
you know what,
our
like
ideas.
To see
it
is
said
the
that
slimy Tom Cruise. You know what I'm saying? Like
slimy.
Tom. Like he's avoiding to go into the war. You know.
He was
like the way he was. You know, he's like, oh, me go to war. Like a little tidbit or a homage to that. You know, I would like to see something like that.
I mean, it's definitely a good movie. I really like it. And you watch it, and he just keeps dying. And Bill Paxton plays a great role in that movie. Yeah. He is the drill sergeant.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's passed away. So I don't know what they're going to do about that. R.I.P. Bill Paxton.
I don't think they have to put Bill Paxton in it because, I mean...
No, but he was so...
His, that trained her,
his
you know?
Part was so good, though. Like, he did such a good job. It was...
I think he would have to go with, like, a different cast of crew, you know? So,
well, speaking of a different cast and crew, what about a different director?
Damn.
Story comes out that the two directors for the Han Solo movie got fired.
They got canned
by Lucasfilms, and they've already shot, I believe, 4 months worth of film.
That's crazy.
And Ron Howard has officially been hired to replace them.
We have Opie.
And no, the news was that they were shooting a comedy.
Ace so these, Ventura-like?
Ace Ventura-like, yeah. Han Solo was an Ace
Ventura-like
character.
Star Wars movie like Ace Ventura? Like,
what? Alrighty.
These directors... one of the movies these directors was popular for directing was 21 Jump Street. So these were comedic directors. So I don't understand...
Totally out of their...
To me, I don't understand why you hire directors to do what they do well, and you hire them to do that, and then you fire them. You should have never hired them from the beginning, so... What do we think about that, guys? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing?
If they were going to make it like Ace Ventura, it's a damn good thing, because that's not Han Solo. It's just out of character.
I bet you this happened. Everything started up, and a lot of the actors were like, what the hell kind of movie is this? And they complained enough to where, like, I'm not going to be a part of this, or I'm not sure if this is a project I want to be a part of. It's a freaking comedy. It's not true to the Star Wars films, and they're like, you know what? You're right. They're out of here. Hmm. And then they really looked into it, and then they, oh, shoot, you're right. Absolutely right.
Because as news keeps coming, first you heard that they parted ways for
creative differences.
Yeah.
That's what Lucasfilm said. Then the directors came out and said basically the same thing, that they're not a fan of that, of creative differences excuse, but that's exactly what happened.
That's the politically correct way of saying, like,
we got fired.
Yeah, we got fired, or like...
This is how it happened.
We just had different views.
Came
into
my office. You're fired. I write the book.
You're fired. Like, yeah, you're fucking up this movie, guys.
Come very on. Mature. Oh, yeah, it's very mature.
I was very mature. You're fired.
Yeah.
So, I am very happy Because I don't want them to fuck it up.
Yeah, it's...
You don't mess with our Star Wars.
No.
It's almost like Superman versus Batman. Like, that's how bad it would have been, honestly.
And you were, and the whole point is, they, from what they were saying, is they thought that Han Solo was a comedic character. Instead of making a serious movie with comedy, here and there.
See, my guess is
he's sarcastic. Like, Han Solo's more sarcastic than he is like comedic. Yeah.
He's sarcastic.
He's a real big smartass. Yeah, that's what it is.
Maybe they were trying to make it like Guardians or something. Yeah.
But as more news came out, you heard exactly what Hot Sauce was saying, is the actors were complaining. Because I'm sure they got on set and were like, man, we're going to shoot a Rogue One. We're going to shoot a Force Awakens, and then they're just like what the hell is this? So what do you do with 4 months worth of film that is shot that...
Waste.
I mean...
In a different point of view, too, on top of that.
Well, Ron Howard said he's going to use...
Some of it.
Whatever he can.
He's going to use it.
Salvage whatever he can.
I don't know, man. It sounds to me like it's a big...
Like impossible.
Well, see, they directed it, but who's writing it? Because the writing is a big part of it.
Well, the writer, that's where the issues came. The writer is Lawrence Kasdan. Mm-hmm. And for people that... We're huge Star Wars nerds, most of us. Lawrence Kasdan wrote, Empire. Return of the Jedi, Empire Strikes Back. He basically wrote, Harrison Ford's Han Solo character. So he knows it very, very well. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who was like, look, this is the way you're going to shoot it. And these guys were like, no, we're not going to shoot it like this. This is how we want to shoot it.
Yeah.
And it was just so much that they were just like, I'm done. But why do you wait 4 months?
Yeah. 4 months to find that out. Come on.
I wonder how much money that... I mean, I guess it doesn't matter because it's going to make money.
But people are going to go see it.
I think that gives it a slight pass, though.
At least they caught it gives soon
you guys,
before.
It gives everybody a heads up. Like, hey, this movie might be shitty, but, in case it's not shitty, go check it out regardless, And that's okay because Star Wars doesn't have any shitty movies, There's nothing that I see that they produce.
Prequels.
I'll say prequels.
No, I mean, even that wasn't even really a shitty... Like, Star Wars 3, you can't tell me that was shitty.
Revenge of the Sith was probably the best of the three.
I will say that I will never say a Star Wars movie is shitty.
Just not that great.
Some of them aren't as good as others, basically.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
that's
it's
what I'm
not
saying.
Crap.
John, you are not the foremost expert on Star Wars.
I'm not. And by no means I'm
in this room.
But like,
maybe the least.
But
like, opposite of foremost.
We're just picking on you.
Yeah.
I mean, Hot Sauce didn't go see Wonder Woman, so I guess.
It makes it all right.
Completely different.
He's all fuck off.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think Star Wars, like the Star Wars whole arc, can't make a shitty movie.
So yeah.
They got a good story.
Even if they happen to make a shitty movie, it's going to make so much money.
Like, it doesn't even
regardless,
really
so it kind of doesn't matter. Yeah, but
like, it's Star Wars.
What you got to love about Lucasfilm now is that they really try to make the fans happy because they understand
that
if you piss
money
off the fans, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. Word of mouth gets
even
by
Star
fast.
I mean, I'd say Star Wars 2 is probably like the worst one out of them.
Episode 2.
I would say episode 1.
I would say episode 1 as well. Yeah,
definitely 1.
The only good part was the pod race and the Darth Maul fight.
And Darth Maul. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I could just watch
and
that and not even watch the rest of the movie.
Yeah, just the scenes of Darth Maul, basically.
That was a cool song, though. Man, remember the great days of MTV where they actually played music videos? They actually had they premiered that music video. So speaking of doot 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 doot, Atari made a lot of those noises, like in Pong. The Atari reference comes out because there's news that Atari is making a system.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of vague on what kind, but they're
are vague on a console, but let's go crazy here and just say what if Atari wanted to try to break into
the
gaming console market?
Break into the big three?
The big three.
Oh, man, that'd be a big four.
More like 2.5.
Huh?
Well, Atari does have some properties, gaming properties, like games. Like Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So I really won't say that they would suck because Nintendo has basically lived on Mario.
On the first party stuff all.
Yes, Mario, Metroid, Zelda, Smash Brothers stuff.
It would be a good fresh perspective, honestly. Like, what can you mess up on, what's the worst that could happen? I mean, they go bankrupt, but I mean, I'm just saying, like,
Pong in VR.
That'd be crazy.
I think that's
actually
they could,
not a bad thing.
Or Pitfall VR.
What was that comic book that I'm thinking of? What is it, Comic Zone or something like that?
That was the Sega Genesis game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Remember that one?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. It. By no means are you restricted just because, you know, you're trying to get in with Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo.
And then on top of that, I mean, there's like games that bridge over to like that stuff too. So I mean,
I think they're definitely, if you come out with a system, and you can come out with some very good first party exclusive games, or just exclusive games that kill, you can break in, because that's how Microsoft did it.
Yeah, exactly.
When Microsoft started up,
they had Gears of War.
They had Halo. One.
That's what killed most of the.
You know, Halo. Like Microsoft did it with very few exclusives, but they were some of the best exclusives that you could get. Like,
no, I always had a PlayStation. Halo that was that the console, one thing. Like, I was like, fuck, dude, I can't play Halo, guys.
Yeah. Yep,
it was all about Halo.
It was a dope game.
So like, it's not impossible.
No.
But you're in a position where you have to make sure you have hits. Your AAA games, they have to hit. You can't have duds. In the beginning, you got to be able to hit, and then you can have a couple of duds after that. But you have to get your foundation going really good, which is what Microsoft did.
I think another cool thing, if they were to do something like that, like bring an old school one, would be like Skate or Die.
Oh, Skate or Die was badass.
Yeah. NES, yeah.
What about Skitchin'?
Skitchin'.
Nobody knows what Skitchin' is. Yeah.
Joust.
The Rollerblade. Oh, dude. We're getting crazy now.
There's two extremes to this. So either they go full on and try to compete with Microsoft Sony, or the other extreme.
They try to
do classic, and then
no, they're gonna do like the Nintendo classic, exactly, but the Atari version of that.
Yeah.
So that's the theory. They're gonna do a full on, or they're gonna just do the Atari classic.
They could just be trying to test the waters.
Yeah, I think so.
But if there's any time to jump in, it would be now.
Yeah.
Because think about it, we've been doing this podcast 32 weeks.
I thought you were gonna say years for a second. I was like, whoa.
32 weeks, 31 weeks. That's how many months is that? It's quite a few months.
Seven and a half. Because you're a baby, newborn, so, or you're.
Vicky's 30 weeks.
30 weeks. So like
32. Yeah. So we've been doing eight. Yeah. We've been doing eight.
Wow.
8 months.
Dang.
And we've been doing this for 8 months.
Dude, that's awesome.
So, about it. In 8 months, how many games have we talked about?
It's very little.
Hey, John, you want to get back into Destiny?
Yeah.
How's Destiny?
Hot Sauce is going to jump out the window. Yeah. The game market is not what it used to be. There is definitely room for innovation. There is definitely room for somebody new on the block to come in with some great IPs.
They want that to be Sega, goddammit. They're better.
Really, Sega.
I wish Sega would come back like that.
John, talk in your mic.
Dude, I am talking to my mic. No, I don't know what's wrong with the mic, all right?
Rubbing it all over your face. I don't know.
Yeah, baby. Oh, we need Juan to see this.
That's the one that Gil was rubbing his balls on the last time.
Yeah.
Smells a little sweaty.
Does it?
Sweaty.
So I saved the last
little hint of coconut.
The last bit of the podcast. The last 20, 30 minutes, so, because we saw the Game of Thrones trailer.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
The new one just dropped. And this one, if you thought watching the first trailer you were excited, what about the second one?
Yeah.
That was pretty dope.
I guess that would have been a good time to hook the music up and play
Game of Thrones, right? Yeah, that would have been a good little. We'll save that one for next time, I guess.
Next time. It's our first time using it. We're excited.
We're experimenting.
We literally figured out how to do it like 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah.
The thing that caught my eye was seeing that flaming sword. I'm going to lie.
Yeah, that was.
I just saw that. Oh, shit.
So the flaming sword. Hot Sauce, what did you see in the trailer that you. Hot Sauce, like, I didn't see the trailer.
He's like, I'm pulling it
I
up
saw
right
it
now.
Many a times, actually.
So what in there did you see that you were just like,
That could possibly be Lightbringer?
I don't think that would be
it's
Lightbringer.
Not it's not really Lightbringer. Right. But it makes you excited.
But we did talk about it a lot.
Yeah, because basically it does, like, the same concept as a sword. He basically hit it like a lightsaber. He was like, all right, let's go. Let's do this.
Ding.
And in that part, him... The guy with the eye patch. I don't know. I remember his name.
Beric Dondarrion.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Jon Snow. What's the guy with the beard? Wildling.
Come on, I know my Game of Thrones stuff. Tormund, the Giant's Bane.
They're basically going to go good like showing a little off. Strike Force, Task Force. To
yeah, that, I think that's.
You know who else is with them?
Gendry. Maybe.
He is.
Possibly.
Theon.
Because of the war. Warhammer. Peak.
Yeah, he's got the Warhammer. He's got Robert's Warhammer.
He does.
Theon. Mr. The Hound.
Theon Greyjoy.
And they're basically going to see.
Thoros O'Meara.
Who do you think's going to die? Because nobody. There's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Who's the next victim?
Of course, who's not going to be Jon Snow.
I think
in that group, who do you think's going to die?
I bet you Jon Snow's going to die.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I could see Gendry dying.
I don't think Gendry's going to die because he's the last Baratheon.
Yeah, that's exactly why he's going to die.
I don't think he's going to die.
The last.
I think Thoros O'Meara's going to die. I think Beric Dondarrion's going to die.
Oh, yeah. The eye patch is definitely going to die because it's his last time. What his last life? You know,
well, not really, because like he has what's called the kiss of life.
Yeah.
So he can come back as many times as they'll bring him back to life.
Dang. Like he can be resurrected over and over. Yeah.
Maybe. But they said it was his last time, though, or he only has one more.
Was like a cat has nine lives
at some point. They said that.
No, because he had been brought back already seven or eight times or nine or mm-hmm. a lot
the,
of times.
Yeah, and the Hound cut him down too, and he brought busted out came that back, flame yeah. sword.
But see, I kind of have, I really have an insight because I've been watching Game of Thrones videos like crazy and somebody busted out the some pretty bad spoilers. Yeah, so.
Oh,
dang.
I already know who's going to die.
God damn.
If they're right.
If.
That's because spoilers, they're sometimes they're not really, they're, spoilers are spoilers, but like they're not spoilers.
Well, supposedly the one who busted out these is the one who was right on last season.
Damn.
Oh, he was that accurate.
So
huh?
this person is that. It's damn. Like someone got the script.
Damn. Oh, shit.
Basically, so.
Is it that good or he did
I already heard it all before I realized that I had just, like, ruined damn. It. But.
Oh.
Okay, so then I already know.
It's like frowny face. Damn it.
yeah.
But I will say if it is correct.
It's going to be pretty sick.
It's going to be a great season, and then people are going to be a little disappointed as well.
Damn.
Not really because anything happened, just like. When you watch Game of Thrones, you want people to get what's coming to them.
You
and
cheer for
unfortunately, you cheer. Yeah. other things happen. Drive things like that to be postponed or not happen. And so
kind of leaves it hanging.
So I'm just going to say if it ends the way it's supposed the way I read it's going to end, it's going to be a long fucking 2 years to the last season.
You know they're going to build that hype.
What is interesting is they did release how long the episodes were going to run.
Really?
And most of them are running an hour. One of them ran only 50 minutes, but the last two episodes, one ran 62 minutes and the other one ran 79 minutes, almost an hour and a half.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
So even though we're only getting...
A lot of consistency there.
Even though we're getting seven episodes, in time-wise, we're really getting close to eight, maybe nine.
Okay.
So...
Still doesn't make up for the fact where they cut off so much like that, yeah.
I just, you know what, like... That's I don't know how they could let you wait 2 years. I mean, Westworld was so good, and yes, we're waiting 2 years for that. But
we're just starting.
But we're just starting. we just started Westworld. Like we're towards like, the end of Game of Thrones, and you want us to wait?
Come on, guys, come on.
You know, there's a lot of people thinking that he ain't ever gonna finish the books because Sci-Fi just picked up another one of his books for a series.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
So what? What? Are you what are you hoping happens this season? Anybody?
I want to be pleasantly surprised. Just to
I
be
want
honest.
A Stark reunion. Honestly,
they that's all have I to want. Come together. Yeah, yeah I would honestly see that too.
In the preview, they show Bran already there. No, coming across the wall. They show was it Bran
with Mira?
He just said it.
Mira.
Yeah, Mira.
And Arya with
a horse.
With a horse.
Yeah, she came by herself. But that'd be nice to have like a little reunion for the Starks. But then that sucks on what's her name? God, Sansa. Yeah.
Oh, no. Bran's gonna tell everybody about Jon.
Is that what we're hoping?
No, that's gonna happen for sure. he's gonna tell everybody.
I would. You know what I want to see?
Because people forget at this point, he's the only one that knows.
Yeah, I want to see a Night of the Laughing Tree.
The Night of the Laughing Tree?
Yeah, like episode.
So for people that aren't familiar about, did we talk about the Night of the Laughing Tree the last time? Have we talked about that yet?
I don't remember that one. That sounds familiar.
So the Night of the Laughing Tree, this happened at the tournament at Harrenhal. So the tournament at Harrenhal is the tournament where Rhaegar won the joust and
it's
presented
Lyanna
Stark.
It's pretty much anybody who's anybody. Like you have the stars.
It's like the Super Bowl of...
Yeah, you have Baratheon, you have the Targaryens. Yeah, did I say Starks? Yeah, the Starks. You have everybody. Anybody, any house that you know, they're there. You know, so Ned, a young Ned, Ben, you know, they're all there. Go ahead and keep on talking.
So they're all at this tournament. At the time, the Mad King, he's still there. Rhaegar's there. Brandon, Rickard Stark. Rickard Stark is Ned Stark's father. Brandon Stark is his older brother. Robert Baratheon's there, who was the young, you know, lord of Storm's End, the Baratheons.
No pun, young buck.
Young buck, yeah. And Lyanna Stark's there. So at this tournament, the day before the tournament, the jousting, they have a big party. And so at this party, like, all these people are there. Of course, everyone, they're all trying to hook up. They're all trying to, like, make matches and stuff like that. So that's where, like, there's so much stuff going on in there.
The Lannisters are there, too.
Yeah, what's her name? The Arthur Dayne's sister, Lady Dayne, I forget what her name is, with purple eyes, very beautiful. We talked about that, where they think Ned Stark fell in love with her. And that's where all those rumors come from. Well, Howland Reed was there. So Howland Reed is Ned Stark's friend. He's from the Greywatch Tower, which is in the Neck, which is all swamps and bogs. And what's interesting, no one's ever taken the Greywatch Tower because nobody can find it. It's on a Crannog. They call them Crannogmen. It's on a Crannog, like on a homemade, like a man-made island, and it moves. So the Freys and all these people have tried to go capture it, but they can't find it because it floats in the swamps everywhere. No one knows where that castle is. So it's crazy. So Howland Reed's there, and they're making fun of him. Some squires are making fun of him. And they're beating him up with sticks and stuff, wooden sticks, wooden swords. And Lyanna Stark comes and fights them off and you know, beats them up and helps him and tells him to come to the dance because he's a nobleman, you know, and so he belongs there, even though people look down on them because they're from the swamps. So he comes and he meets everyone, and they're trying to get him to get, like, revenge on those squires. They want him to, I think Brandon Stark even offers to, no, not Brandon, Benjen Stark offers to get him a horse and some armor to joust, but he never... supposedly doesn't
he can't. It's not that he it's just the fact
he doesn't feel confident enough to try to get revenge. He didn't want to look stupid and dishonor himself. So the next day, a knight shows up and in mismatched armor and has a shield with a weirwood tree on it,
smiling.
And so they called that knight the Knight of the Laughing Tree, and that knight beat the three knights who those squires belong to that were beating up Howland Reed to get revenge. So when that knight beat those knights, when the Knight of the Laughing Tree beat the knights of the squires, the knight took their horses and their armor and told them they can only get it back if they punished the squires for what they were doing, like berated them, and so kept Howland Reed's armor. But Aegon, the king, the Mad King, thought that it was
like more of a political threat.
Yeah, like it was a threat to him. Like, so the Knight of the Laughing Tree took off. He sent Rhaegar after the Knight of the Laughing Tree, but all they found supposedly was the shield. They never found the knight. Disappeared. And that's the same tournament where Rhaegar won and gave Lyanna Stark the crown of the blue roses, named her the queen, the God, the mad lady of God and beauty, love and beauty or whatever over his wife. Yeah. And so that's where it all starts. Like, that's where everything starts with Lyanna Stark and Rhaegar. That's where he sang that song on his harp and she cried. Mm-hmm. And so she disappeared after that. That's when he supposedly stole her, right after that. Well, people think that that night could have been Howland Reed. They think it could have been Brandon Stark. They think it could have been Benjen Stark. They think it could have been Lyanna Stark because they called her half wolf, half horse or something.
Yeah, like she was
so good on a horse. And she was like a tomboy, kind of like the way Arya is. And that's kind of what John was alluding to, is that that's where that the story of the Night of the Laughing Tree is from. It's a great story, and it makes you wonder if you're going to see it.
Yeah.
Because Littlefinger was there. People think that when Rhaegar went off to find the Night of the Laughing Tree, that he found the Night of the Laughing Tree and found out that it was Lyanna Stark. And since everything, you know, she cried when he played music, mm-hmm. he gave her the little crown, you know, of the love and beauty of the tournament. And all these things kind of add up. They think that he found out who she was and then he took her. Hmm. Like, after everything was done. And they think that Littlefinger might have seen it or knew that it was her. So there's a lot of things that could happen. I mean, it's the lore of Game of Thrones is so deep.
Very deep.
There's even the three-eyed raven. Mm-hmm. His real name is Brendan Rivers. He killed one of the Targaryens back in the day because he's really old. Mm-hmm. And that Targaryen had a sword called Night Sister, which was...
Wasn't he a Targaryen at one point?
No.
No?
Well, he may have been. He may have been part... I mean, he's a bastard, mm-hmm. Rivers.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, and... he killed a Targaryen that had that blade, which is called Night Sister, which belonged to... When the Targaryens first came to... I want to say Middle Earth. When they came to Westeros, the Aegon the Conqueror, which is the original Aegon, he was married to his sisters, Rhaenyra and Viserys, or something like that. And they all had Valyrian steel swords. He had Blackfyre, which is a Valyrian steel sword that's been missing for a while. And the girl had Night Sister. And so it passed down that Brendan Rivers killed the Targaryen who had Night Sister, and then the blade disappeared. Hmm. So whenever in the series on the TV show, when they're inside under the Weirwood tree with the three-eyed raven, Mira goes outside. She sees all the White Walkers coming. She runs inside. She grabs a sword. There's a sword there by the entrance. She just grabs it. Mm-hmm. And she takes it with her and she has it. They keep circling it and all the things. So they're thinking that she has Night Sister. Which is just another great little tidbit there that you just don't know. So, it's great. You know, in the trailer it looks like the Unsullied are either at Lannisport or at Casterly Rock.
Mm-hmm. Casterly Rock.
Are they? Is that confirmed?
Pretty much, because if you remember Tyrion telling, what's his name, Viserys, he was in charge of the waste management system, I guess, whatever it's called. And that little crack is for pretty much all their, I guess, for flow comes through for their disposal. Shit. Yeah, pretty much. And so he's basically going to turn on them, help them take Casterly Rock. And they're going to have that little task force. It's even in the preview of the Unsullied opening the door so more of them can come in. So they're going to have that little task force and...
Yeah, you do see them opening the door for the rest of the Unsullied to come through. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm really excited to see is the Dragon Pit. In King's Landing, they're supposed to have the Dragon Pit where the Targaryens kept their dragons. Hmm. In King's Landing, there's three hills. There's Aegon's Hill. I don't know what the other two are called. I think they're named after him and the two sisters. Rhaenys Hill. So on one of them, one of the hills is the Dragon Pit. On Aegon's hill is the Red Keep. And then on the other hill is the Sept of Baelor, which is the, like, the church, the whatever that gets blown up. And I really want to see the Dragon Pit because supposedly they're supposed to go there. Because you've seen the trailers and the previews where the dragons are flying over King's Landing. So you know they're going to go to King's Landing eventually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's just going to be very interesting. It's got to go... What the thing about it being only 7 episodes, it's got to go fast. You know, you can't... Like, you have a lot... You basically have to have Daenerys come, fight her war, Jon fight his,
Cersei fight hers,
Cersei whatever, mm-hmm. and then you're going to have them band together to fight the White Walkers at some point,
yeah.
And then you have to have it end. So you got to do that in...
7 episodes?
13 episodes, what's left total.
These two seasons, yeah.
2 seasons, so jeez. It's got to move really, really fast. So that's one really, yeah... And the guy who plays Jaime Lannister, I don't know what his real name is, but he did an interview and he was saying that these episodes are basically, some of them are moving so fast, they're doing basically half of a season's worth in one episode.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're packing a lot into there. And
Tyrion's going to ride a dragon.
That's a theory.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to get out of that little predicament they're in with the White Walkers surrounding them. At the very last second, one of them's going to fly, and I bet Tyrion's going to be on it because Daenerys is going to ride Drogon to help out the Unsullied and that whole Dothraki battle. She's going to be on that one.
Well, you know what's interesting is when you read the lore of it, when a dragon bonds with a dragon rider, it doesn't let anybody else ride it.
Yeah.
Until that dragon rider, like, dies. Mm-hmm. So, if there's 3 dragons, and the Targaryen sigil has a 3-headed dragon.
You're making an assumption of that there's 3. There's 2 different riders.
There is an actual prophecy that states that there's 3. Yeah,
then the story that, what's the girl with the dragon skull on her face?
Oh,
Baratheon's daughter.
That's one that got died, though.
Yeah.
That got burned alive.
Marcella,
yeah. Marcella Baratheon tells, what's his name? The illiterate guy.
Oh, no, not Marcella. The girl with the grayscale. I forget what her name is.
Yeah, the girl with the grayscale tells...
I felt bad when she died.
Yeah, I did, too. What's the old man's name?
Sir Davos.
Yeah,
Davos.
She tells Sir Davos about the story about three dragon riders.
Which were the original, was Aegon and his sisters.
Yeah, I mean, that gives you a little hint of what's going to happen.
Well, you want to know what's a really big hint is, then what are the names of Daenerys' dragons? You know, Drogon, and then there's a Rhaerys. It's basically named after Rhaegar, which is Jon Snow's dad.
Rhaegarys, there you go.
Yeah, Rhaegarys, yeah. Ah. So people are saying that Jon Snow's going to ride.
I can see that.
Yes, because it's the name of his, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one's name is Viserys, which is named after her brother, a little punk bitch.
Yeah.
But
yeah, he was a bitch.
That one may get turned into a ice dragon.
Ah, that would make more sense. Yeah,
so
that would be cool.
And there's a lot of crazy things that have to happen. there has always been that theory that if you read the books, Tyrion has one purple. I think he has like one purple eye or one. His eyes are different colors.
Yeah, he has one brown eye, green eye.
Something like that, yeah, green eye.
He's described more as a Targaryen than an actual Lannister.
And so he I don't know if I've talked about it on here, I'm sure I have, but I'll refresh everybody's memory. The dad used to be the Hand of the King. He's been a Hand of the King for the longest time. What's the dad's name?
Tyrion's dad?
Yeah. The one he shoots, Tywin. Yeah.
Tywin.
Yeah, so at one point, Tywin left from King's Landing and went back home. He was upset. Then the king named Jaime Lannister Kingsguard just to kind of spite Tywin, like, oh, your son is never going to hold his lands or have kids or, you know, continue your name. So they went back and forth. Well, a lot of people speculate that Tywin was upset because the Mad King had got his wife pregnant because they had an affair. Mm-hmm. And she got pregnant with Tyrion. And then he gave his wife this one of those, not the milk of the poppy, but one of those.
But something like
to abort the baby.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why he came out all
different. And that's why the mom died.
But then he didn't know what to do, but he wanted somebody to carry on the name. So I guess when he figured that wasn't going to happen anymore, it's like, oh, just try to kill him. Try to kill him.
There's so much story going on with Game of Thrones. It's crazy. But like they were saying, if they don't know if it's going to finish, because George R. R. Martin's other story, I think it's called The Night Shadow or something. And it's a book about the end of the world. So towards the end of the world of Earth, they send a spaceship called the Night Stalker or something like that into space to find, there's like an alien thing that's beacon that's calling them, that they think might be civilization's last hope. And it's kind of like a horror in space where they don't ever see the captain, and then the AI is kind of crazy.
Like Space Odyssey?
Yeah, like that. And it's kind of, and so as they get closer, they're just wondering if it's, they don't know where it's taking them, like to their doom.
Damn.
That's going to be a series that Sci-Fi Channel's picking up from George R. R. Martin. So people are like, damn, if he gets rolling on this one, will he ever finish the book version of Game of Thrones? Because he's only on book 6 out of 7.
Damn.
And it's taken him almost five years to get this last one out.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Which could be why I heard they were stretching out the series on TV, just because they have full production. Like basically every episode's like produced like a movie now.
Oh yeah. Shit.
So the budgets are really high and all that stuff, because it's, you know, the number, Game of Thrones. It's like the number one show.
It's gotten a lot of hype.
And so that's why they need the time to make it that great.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe it's buying time for him to get the rest of the books out, so people aren't waiting so much, because I think once the series ends, who wants to buy the book?
True.
Yeah. It's going to kill sales.
Then again,
I think that's why they're probably giving him 2 years, you know, for him to hurry up and maybe some type of motivation to help him out. You know what I'm saying?
Do you see a possibility where it's too long for people to wait and they lose interest in Game of Thrones?
Nah.
For the series, for the TV series? Or you think they're going to just...
I think you might lose some. Yes, you might lose some, but once it drops,
they'll come back.
Oh, they'll come back in a heartbeat.
It's all about the marketing. As long as they market it, right?
They market it very well.
Yeah,
They do market Game of Thrones is marketed very well.
I think it was a great cast. It's been a great story. I'm super excited to see.
One of the problems that they're running into, though, is that the actors and actresses are getting a little
tired,
a little too old.
Yeah,
for their,
a little too long in the tooth
for their parts. You know.
Yeah.
Old,
I mean, look at Daenerys, though. Like, she was supposed to be like, what, 14?
Yeah, she's supposed to be something like that.
Like,
yeah,
super, super young.
Definitely and, like, 14 now.
Yeah, she's in, like 20, maybe in her mid, early 30s, late 20s.
Or just like the Arya. She's supposed to be, what, 12 in the show? And then she's actually, like, what, 18 now or 19? Yeah.
Well, Robb Stark is supposed to be 14.
Damn.
Him and Jon Snow are supposed to be about 14 years old.
Oh, definitely not.
Damn. But could you imagine that, like, that age where they're like,
yeah,
like you couldn't see a bunch of boys fighting like with men, so it makes sense to like have them, you know, mid 20s.
It would translate well to TV.
Yeah,
no, for sure, it makes sense.
It's like seeing Harry Potter like fight all these as a little kid like that, try to fight all the.
Yeah, it wouldn't work. You see like a young Harry Potter try to fight like the Death Eaters. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, we're getting right there towards the end, guys. As always, you know, we...
it's so high.
I'm going to say goodbye, that's for sure. It's getting towards the end of the show. So we make sure that you give us a listen and share with your friends. And what else do we want people to do?
Like, comment, subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram.
Share with everybody. Instagram, we got it on, we're on iTunes now. Subscribe there if you have a iPhone or iPad. Any iOS device will do, or Mac. Or even with PC, you know, that would be help.
We'll see if we can get a Patreon account going. You know, if you like us,
So that we can up our production value a little
bit?
Yeah.
I mean, we just look at the fancy thing we're learning how to do now.
Yeah, and we might even start doing, you know, in the future, maybe a full-on live stream with video.
Possibly.
All right, guys. So where can they find us at, John?
Instagram and Facebook right now, Men of the Cave Podcast.
Definitely. All right, guys. So let's say goodbye. You want to say goodbye, Gil?
Yeah, goodbye, Gil.
Hot sauce?
Hot sauce. Signing off.
Sean?
Later, y'all.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Episode 33 next week.
Peace. Ready to train?